Hi, Jason Longshore of Atlanta United, radio analyst. How you doing, man?
Why do I always walk into these conversations?
Because we have a Preacher Man segment from the Bible. At the end, we do research material, which means that we are never fully prepped for the segment
never.
With you. I hope you understand, my friend.
I do. It's all good.
I feel bad. Jason walks in. He's got, you know, got the sport coat on, got his customary hat. He's been in meetings. He's doing professional stuff. And then he walks into us talking about pineapples, a fifth of rope, and little people. And all he can do is shake his head. And the ball gag as well.
Jason, what do you call the hat you're wearing? It's stylish for sure. It looks good. What is that called?
The brand is Kangol, and I mean I've heard them called a derby cap. I mean all kinds of different things, but I stick to the Kangol brand.
That is something that was really big in hip hop back in the 80s. LL, Run DMC, all of them would wear the Kangos. Now, they would have the crushed velvet suits on and everything else.
I can't pull that off.
No?
I can't pull that off. I can do the Kangol, the flat bill. I can do that. I can't do the LL Cool J, like, floppy. The bucket hat. No, I can't pull that one off.
Yeah, meaning that my ears and head are too big for those. So normally the bucket side kind of sits on top of my head. I look ridiculous. Arch can rock the bucket hat. Him and DJ Shockley, it must be a QB thing. They can wear the bucket hat and get away with it. What made that your customary look? Because you've been rocking that ever since we met you.
You know, it's weird. I had a concussion back in 2012. You know, grew up playing soccer, played basketball, hitting the head a bunch of times, never knocked out, never had a concussion while I was playing, but I was actually coaching and hitting the back of the head with a ball, had a headache, went home, fell asleep, everything's fine, wake up the next day just dizzy, can't look at the computer, can't watch TV. Doctor says I have a concussion, and when I went back to work, these types of lights, the fluorescent lights, would just drive me crazy. And going back into an office setting, couldn't wear a baseball hat, and I wanted to wear something and dress nice, so I started doing the Kangol, and it stuck with me now. Now it's to the point, if I don't wear a Kangol, people are like, what's up? What's going on?
So you're a big fan of NFL head coach Bruce Arians?
Oh, yeah,
who
course.
Always rocks the Kangol.
Right.
Not on the field during a game, but like off the field, he's always rocking the Kangol. It's a good look.
It's Bruce Arians, it's Samuel L. Jackson, and it's me.
There you go.
There we go.
You're in a good group because those guys all made a lot of money, and we hope you make a lot of money in this business as well. Let's talk Barco. Finally over to the United States. You and I were talking kind of off the air about what the plan is that Atlanta United, how they will use him as far as finding him a place to live. They're not going to just let him go off on his own and find a place in Buckhead, are they?
No, they're not. Atlanta United's been at the forefront of this. Teams, even the biggest teams around the world, have had problems when they bring players over and they don't do the proper care to take care of these guys because you're coming to a new country. You know, older guys have families. They got to get kids into school. Carlos Bocanegra, being a former player and having gone from the U.S. to England, to Scotland, to Spain, to France, he knows the challenges. So he's able to take care of these guys and make sure that they can come here and focus on soccer and focus on getting ready to help this team win.
So what other challenges are involved with that? You know, you've got to get the young man settled, you know, and all that kind of stuff. What other challenges and hurdles do they have to work through?
You know, here in Atlanta, it's actually a lot easier because he's coming into a team that has a South American culture and a heavy Argentine culture. So, you know, hanging out with Tito Villalba, Leandro Gonzalez Pires, drinking mate. They were playing FIFA last night with Miguel Almiron. He's into a group of guys who are very similar to him and guys who have been through what he's going through now.
Is it Argentine or Argentinian? I've always struggled with that.
I think Argentine is the official proper way to say it. That's what your experts will say, but they're very interchangeable.
So like a dumb white dude from suburban Minneapolis would say Argentinian when it should be Argentine. Okay, I wanted to make sure because I've been confused
proper.
On that.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when I saw Ezequiel Barco come over and the pictures were up, Atlanta United had him on Twitter and everything else, I guess because you hear all the hype about him and you finally see pictures of him just walking through the airport, he's a kid. Like, you look at him, you realize, holy crap, this guy's 18 years old, and our fan base is just unbelievably excited about what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, think back to Andrew Jones when he hit the big time here. Think back to Kobe Bryant, you know, Kevin Garnett, when they came out of high school to become professionals. It was the same thing. So, except in this case, Barco is coming off of a continental championship in South America. At that age.
By the way, are you on Instagram?
Yes.
So LeBron, 3-2-1, LeBron James just called you out on Instagram for not mentioning him as one of the straight out of high school guys, because of course he's one of the pettiest human beings on planet Earth. Are you okay? Are you going to be able to defend yourself on Instagram?
I have a feud with LeBron James now.
That's good. You know what? Feuds get you somewhere in this business. Got to be hated. You'd rather be hated than loved, to be honest.
Maybe that gets me the Kangol sponsorship. I don't know.
Nice. So what are the expectations for Barco? Is it All-Star game? Is it MVP? You know, just in terms of like individual success, and you know, I don't know what the award, do they have newcomer of the year? Do they have rookie of the year? Are the expectations rookie of the year, or is it north of that? Is it all-star, perhaps MVP?
So with the unique structure of soccer around the world, they have a newcomer of the year, which Barco would fit in. They have a rookie of the year in your first professional season, but he's been a pro in Argentina. So newcomer of the year, he's in that running. MVP. He could be in that running if he has the season we're expecting. All-star should definitely happen. This is a guy who should step in who last year, 2017, was in the South American Team of the Year, according to some publications. He should come to MLS and be a superstar day one. He's in a situation where the culture, the manager, everything within the team is a perfect fit for him. It's not like he's going into a team that plays a very English or German style. It's a culture and a style that he's very accustomed to, so it should be an easy transition.
What would be the expectation number-wise? Like, if you put a number of goals and assists that he should have in year one?
Goals won't be as big as I think some people are expecting. I'm thinking between 5 and 7 is what you're looking for. The assists is where he could have a huge impact. Yamil Assad last year in that position, 7 goals, 11 assists. Barco, goals he should match, assists he should surpass. I mean, you're talking potential league leader in assists.
Who was the league leader last year in those two categories? And obviously, we need to know this information for our fantasy soccer league. But if you're talking about like 7-ish goals and like maybe 15, 16, 17 assists for Barco, is that up near the league lead?
Goals, it's not. Goals, you're in the low 20s with Nemanja Nikolic from Chicago. Joseph Martinez was the team leader with 19. Assists, off the top of my head, Sasha Kljestan was the leader, and you're talking just under 20. Getting into that 20 assist number is pretty tough.
Is there a 2020 guy? Like we talk about that in baseball with homers and steals. Is there a 2020 guy in MLS right now?
It's more of a double digit, more of a 10-10 is what you're looking for. And Tito Villalba accomplished that last year. It's pretty rare. Lee Wynn, who's with New England but trying to get traded from the New England Revolution, he's been a 10-10, a double digit guy, goals assists for the last couple of years.
We've got Jason Longshore in studio with us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the big stories this week, MLS-wise, expansion soccer. Now all of a sudden you're going to get a team. David Beckham, it's kind of been the worst-kept secret in soccer. It's official, though. There will be a Miami franchise down there, David Beckham leading the way. Do you think they will try to follow the same way that Atlanta United built things? Or because David Beckham's got that star name, will they look for the older star players?
Hey, and you can probably speak to this better than I can about Miami. Is I think he has to go with some stars. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can just replicate what Atlanta did. I think you're looking for a little of both. The big thing about Miami is he was about ready to give up on it. Mm-hmm. 2 months ago, he was ready to sit down with one of his co-owners and say, we're done. We've tried everything to get a stadium done. We can't get this to happen. But the Moss brothers, Jorge and Jose Moss, missed out on the Marlins purchase. And they
probably
were ready
better
to
for them that they missed out on the Marlins purchase.
Hey, it might be. Now you're in a group with one of the leading businessmen in the world from Japan and David Beckham, and you can go get really any player you want.
Now they have the smaller club. Was it Miami FC? Is what they were. Will they just kind of join forces? Will they have both of those franchises?
They'll be separate.
Okay,
and that gets into a whole political football when it comes to Miami and the North American Soccer League and MLS and Ricardo Silva, who owns Miami FC, right now his league doesn't have sanctioning for 2018. And he's going to play with his second team in a summer league as they try to get things together for the fall.
Does Miami care about soccer?
They do. I think they care about big time soccer, though. Mm-hmm. And that's been the issue that they've had. They've had teams in the second tier. And I don't think Miami, I don't think Atlanta, I don't think a lot of major cities would support a team at a triple A, at a second tier type of level. But if you come in big and you come in with some big signings and then bring young South Americans in to support that, I think Miami can be really successful.
Now, we've talked about guys that Atlanta United has added since we were on with you last Wednesday, or you were on with us last Wednesday. They lost a player going back to his hometown in Carlos Carmona. What do you lose with Carlos being gone?
You lose veteran leadership in the middle of the field. You lose a guy who can play the defensive midfield role. He can play the mixed midfield role. He can even get forward a little bit. Just a veteran presence, I think, is the biggest one. You were looking at him as potentially becoming the defensive midfielder this year with Jeff Lorenowitz moving to the bench. Now you're back to last year's lineup with Jeff Lorenowitz as your defensive midfielder and Darlington Nagbe playing next to him, replacing Carmona in that group. I think they knew at least that it was very possible because of the family situation.
I love it. Hanging out with Jason Longshore. He's our boy. He's the radio analyst for Atlanta United. We're, of course, the home of Atlanta United on radio. You'll be hearing all the games this year. Are there any preseason games that will be on 92.9 The Game?
I don't know if that's officially confirmed yet, but stay tuned on that one.
Okay, so it's being worked on. Well, I mean, that's a better answer than no. At least now there's a possibility that some of the preseason games will be live broadcast on the air.
I can't wait to get it started. I really can't wait to get this thing started. This team is going to be very exciting to watch. Attack-minded, even more attack-minded than last year, if that's possible. Going from 70 goals last year, dominating possession, to a team that should be able to increase both of those numbers and be even more effective.
One of the teams that's their biggest rival, Orlando City, had a pretty big week securing a couple of new players. How does that impact them? They had traded for Dom Dwyer at the middle of the year last year. We're still disappointed. Sidney Leroux has not made it to a game here yet, and whenever that happens, we'll go. How does that affect them? Are they a team now that you think makes a move into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think your big three in the Eastern Conference, it's Toronto as your defending champs. It's NYC, who was second place last year. It's Atlanta. Orlando is now in that conversation right there. I worry about them defensively. They haven't upgraded defensively, and they've spent pretty much all of the money they have allocated to them to increase the midfield and the forward line. I worry about their depth. I worry about them defensively. But you take that midfield, they can match up with anybody in the league. And going to get Uri Rossell and going to get Sasha Kljestan more than anything, for me as a playmaker, I think makes Orlando a real tough ask.
Jason, any developments from Atlanta United training camp, either positive or negative, that we should bring to the air right now?
The big one last night, signed Sal Zizo, 30-year-old veteran right back. He can play a little bit in the middle. He can play right wing. That was a piece that the team really needed. They needed some extra depth on the right side. Franco Escobar comes in this year. Young, Newell's old boys, fits the system really well, but there was no one behind him. Now you add Zizo, who gives you some flexibility, knows the league really well. That was a huge get, and it's one of those underrated type of signings that it's not going to win the headlines, but he might be very important as the season goes on.
Preseason match coming up in Nashville, another week and a half?
February 10th.
So when you see that, what do you learn from the preseason matches? What does Atlanta United need to work on as they get ramped up for the regular season?
You know, what you're looking for in these types of matches are the little combinations in parts of the field. You know, the almost like the little societies is how it translates. You want guys... And in Atlanta's case, you want Barco to create chemistry with Greg Garza behind him. You want Tito Villalba and Franco Escobar to create chemistry on the right side. You want that Nagbe-Lorenowitz pairing to develop the chemistry where they start to know what the teammate is going to do before they do it. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for those little pockets before the full team picture comes into play.
Jason Longshore joining us, radio analyst for Atlanta United, midday show with Rick and John. Is it possible for Atlanta United to have better attendance in 2018?
100%.
Is it even possible? Did they not sell out every game? Like, explain to me how that's possible.
I think what they're going to do this year is try to find ways to open up more of Mercedes-Benz in the soccer configuration. It was 42,500, I think, was the official number in the soccer configuration seated. The FC Dallas match, they had standing room only. They had the Skybridge open, and then they got to 45+. I think your baseline number is going to be a little bit more this year, and that will sell out. Then the four games that are going to be a full house with probably one or two more added, I think they can do even better attendance-wise.
I know last year there was a lot of talk about how disjointed the schedule was because of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the delays in construction. With them having a regular schedule this year, how much easier does that become to navigate?
So much easier. You're not going to have the eight games in 24 days like you had twice last year. So from a team perspective, so much better. From a fan perspective, you don't have as many midweek games to deal with. And those are always tough, especially when you're doing a Saturday match, a midweek match, and in another Saturday match, you get burned out.
In terms of, let's shift gears for a minute. In terms of the Super Bowl, We know you're a Falcons fan like us. Do you give a hoot about this Super Bowl? Because I don't. John maybe barely does. I don't know. Do you give a hoot about this Super Bowl?
Not really. Not really. I mean, it's just not a compelling matchup for me with Philadelphia going in, backup quarterback. You know,
I don't know
what they can really do.
Blowout?
Yeah. I'd kind of lean that way if I was a betting man.
So you want to sing Jimmy Buffett with Rick Kamla on Monday
when
it's a close game?
No, no. You don't want me to sing at all.
We don't want him to sing either. But
no,
really
no.
Fun.
I've heard it. We don't want that either.
We don't want Jimmy Buffett ever singing again.
Hey. Agreed.
Jason, great stuff as all.
So you're a Jimmy Buffett hater as well?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Jason, you are my new guy. I'm coming to give him a hug right now.
Jason, great stuff as always. We take a break. We come back. NBA Fast Break.